Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 153 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Preston Pugh, and I'm joined by my two best friends, Garrett Drake.
Good afternoon.
And Jacob Alka.
Hey, guys.
Gentlemen, how are we doing this fine Saturday afternoon?
I don't really know what to say today. I have a whole lot of schoolwork on my plate.
Is your quarter coming to an end?
You'd think it would with the amount of work I have to do, but no, I'm like 3 weeks out still.
Because a lot of people are finishing up right now. So I hear.
Yeah, semesters are wrapping up. I'm in quarters, so I'm every 10 weeks or a quarter. So I'll have a whole summer off from school. I'll still be busy doing other stuff, but at least I won't be in school doing stupid crap like art history.
When does that summer begin for you?
The 27th or something like that. I think my last day is somewhere around there, the very end of the month. So
my wife's summer courses are about to begin Monday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be taking summer classes, but nothing's offered for me because SCAD is a joke. Don't go there. If you're considering it, just don't do it. Go to some other art school. I've had great professors. I've enjoyed most of my classes, but the scheduling and the availability of classes is just awful. So that's why I'm not graduating until 2020.
Thanks for the heads up. I was thinking about going there, but yeah, I guess good. Not anymore.
So if you're out there considering it, don't do it.
Jacob,
it's not worth it.
How are you doing?
I'm great. Nothing huge or new with me this week. Just working a lot. Playing a lot of cool video games, I gotta say. Yeah. For example, Destiny 2. What a great game.
I was gonna prod your brain about that DLC because I almost bought it.
Oh, do you not have the season pass?
No.
Okay.
No.
So have you played the first one?
No.
Okay.
So I was actually playing through vanilla Destiny 2, just trying to finish up the story mode a few days ago, and I was literally about to pull the trigger for the DLC until I listened to IGN's preview of the Warmind DLC. And
was it like the podcast?
No, it was just like a 4-minute preview that they had released on the day of the release of Warmind. And literally as that video ended, I just exited out of the mission I was on in Destiny and turned it off. I'm not gonna subjugate myself through going through the first DLC and finishing what I have left for Destiny to spend like $30 or whatever it is just to play this DLC that, from what I've heard so far, is just whatever, the same crap we already have.
It's fine, you know.
Yeah.
They add some new stuff. There's you go to a new planet, obviously. It's Mars.
Been there, done that, pal. Well,
let me stop you right there. It's the frozen tundras.
Yeah, Mars, I saw.
Honestly, this campaign is really short. It's maybe 4 or 5 missions. I think there's one mission on Earth and the rest are on Mars. What else? I mean, the final boss, I would say, is pretty cool. It's on a pretty big scale compared to like normal bosses you fight in Destiny. So at least at the very least, I enjoyed. But I mean, there's some exotic quests this time around, which have you kind of collecting stuff in the world on Mars, which is kind of fun because, you know, I just enjoy collecting things in games. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that busy work. I mean, they've added some cool new exotics. They've done a lot of tinkering with the balance of the game. And it's harder to level up now. So, I guess they kind of created more of a grind, which the game kind of lacked, you know, in the original game when they shipped it. So, they're still in, like, that process of trying to craft the game or fix it how the fans want it right now. So I mean if you're interested in Destiny, I would say probably pass on this as well until the fall expansion. So it's kind of their job to kind of sell you on the fall expansion. Yeah.
If I were caught up on PC, I probably would just go ahead and play it since I would be there, but I would have to play through so much stuff to get to that DLC.
Each DLC, like, they're kind of charming in a sense, like the narrative that they try to tell, but in the end they both just kind of fall short, unfortunately. I mean, I just walk away each time wishing there was more. It's just how I always have with Destiny. I just wish, because like the NPCs they put into the world are just glorified, you know, vendors. Pretty much, and they just stand in one spot. Like, I mean, at least in this expansion, like Anna Bray, which is the main NPC that's in this DLC, she's like in a couple missions, like you'll see her in the world, but she like shows up, she disappears for a second. So I mean, it's not like they ever stick around or like help you in missions, really. They're just kind of there for a second, and they're like, oh, I gotta go, you finish this on your own, you know. So I mean, it's just I'm not gonna sit here and just harp on Destiny, because it's just the same thing every time we talk about it.
Yeah,
but I still have hopes. I mean, I've been enjoying it, I guess. It's just something to do. But yeah. I mean,
it's just retreading, beating a dead horse just to say that Destiny's in a really bad position. But it just, just thinking about it right now, you know, Destiny has to right that ship this holiday season, putting out that new piece of content. But they're putting out this new piece of content near Red Dead, near COD, Spider-Man. I mean, near
potentially Battlefield.
Oh yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So
it's over.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's safe it's fair to say that I haven't touched the raid. I've heard that that's pretty challenging this time around, and you have to be pretty geared to do it.
So I heard just to do that fun. Wave mode
escalation thing, protocol,
you have to be very high leveled as well.
I haven't tried that either. I've tried. I like, because you have to do like three waves of it to get one reward. I get past, I can do one wave, but then I like, we just die, we run out of time. No, I was just doing this with randoms too. So it's just random people,
bunch of randos space.
So I don't know, I hope they fix it, and then I'll maybe get to it late December, early 2019 or whatever.
I mean, also apparently they've done a lot of changing to the exotics, and they've made them a lot more exotic-y. And made them more fun to use. And I haven't really gotten any new exotics, unfortunately, so I can't really speak to that. But maybe next week, if I'm still playing at all, maybe I have some little things to say about those. But yeah, I don't know how much more I'm going to play. Well,
have fun with that.
Well, I'll try. But how about y'all? How about y'all's week? How have you guys been?
Didn't play any video games, but one sort of video game related story that I thought was kind of cool is Sean James, who wrote the song Through the Valley that was featured in The Last of Us Part Two trailer, was at Play Dismissal Bar. And
Really?
I wasn't booked that night, but I found out through an Instagram post by Smith, but like, Sean James is here, and he was in the middle of a set, and I was like, dang it, I thought it'd been cool to meet that guy, because I would have totally asked him about, like, how do you feel about being in The Last of Us Part 2 trailer, because he, like, blew up after that, and he was there playing, and I just thought that was cool in general. But then it was funny, one of the barbacks told me the following night when I was there that he was taking out the garbage, and Sean James just happened to be, like, on the back decks, and he saw him taking out the garbage. He's like, he, like, yelled down the stairs, he's like, hey man, you taking out garbage right now? And the guy's, he's like, yeah. And he's like, dude, I want in on that. And he's like, why? He's like, I don't know, man. I just feel like helping you. And he's like, okay. So Sean James helped him take out like 8 bags of garbage to the dumpster down the road.
I want in on that.
Just for fun.
Wow.
So I thought that was funny, but I was kind of bummed I didn't get to see him. I would have liked to at least see Through the Valley live. Would have been
interrogated
cool.
Him for wish any information.
Yeah, garbage. Yeah. So, because it's one thing to have your song in a trailer, but then have a rendition of it done by, Ellie in the trailer too is really cool.
Yeah,
so that's awesome.
That's pretty dope.
That's my only video game related story this week.
Nice. You didn't play anything?
Oh wait, I did play the first level of Donkey Kong.
Oh.
I lied, I did play a little something this week. I played the first level of Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, had a lot of fun with it, can't wait to get back to it.
Let me guess your other game. Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery.
Nope, didn't touch it. Probably won't either. I'm gonna delete it.
You should.
Yeah, which really bums me out. But yeah, I played that. It was fun. I'm excited to get back to it. I dabbled in Far Cry for less than 5 minutes after Preston helped me install the 1080 and upped everything. Or at least
Far Cry 4.
Far Cry 5.
Okay.
Actually, it's funny you say Far Cry 4. I played Far Cry 4 at Casey's for about 20 minutes. I think it was Monday. I forgot about that while she was getting ready before we went to go do something.
On what?
Her old PS4, her original PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Just ran around, we call it Kirat.
Kirat, yeah, I think.
Ran around the mountains, stab some guys. I still love that move where you can stab or stealth kill a guy, then pick up his knife and throw it at another guy. It's a cool move. That was fine. But I did dabble in Far Cry 5 with the 1080, and I'm still rolling at 1080p because of the monitor, but I upped the textures and all that to ultra, and I can tell a difference. And just it feels very smooth and consistent as well, so I'm very excited to put that thing to the test in other games.
Did you end up getting a monitor? I know you were talking about getting one.
No, I gotta, I'm gonna hold off on the monitor. I gotta buy a new camera before E3. So I'm gonna invest in that, and then maybe towards the end of the summer I'll invest in a monitor. So at the very least, at least I know games will run very smoothly with that bad boy. So that's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I played this week.
Nice. That's really cool, man.
Yeah, man. What about you?
I dabbled in a few things. There's a sale going right now on a Humble Bundle. So I picked up Doom and Prey. So I played through a couple of levels of Doom. It's first time playing that on PC.
How'd it feel?
Great. Nice. It felt great.
So you've played Doom on PS4 Vive, right?
Yeah.
And then now just the original PC version?
Yeah. And yeah, that game's fantastic. It blows my mind that you haven't even played that game yet. That's such a freaking good game.
One of the many backlog games.
Yeah, you need to play that game. It's so awesome. But yeah, that game's just so fun to just blaze through a few levels, you know, just not having to really pay attention to the story. I mean, it's good to pay attention to the story your first time through, but I've played it so many times. I'm just running through everything, just blowing everything to pieces. And it's just a lot of fun just to play through that when you have a few minutes to spare. I continued through Prey. I'm a little bit farther into that, and I do think that game on PC is significantly better than on console. It's such a pain in the ass to aim. In that game, at least it was on PlayStation. For some reason, the aiming was just off. Arcane games, the aiming is just
kind of weird,
even in Dishonored. If there wasn't that auto aim for the crossbow or whatever, that would be pretty frustrating. But you don't really notice it in Dishonored because you're not really having to aim at anything, you know, with a pinpoint accuracy or anything, with that being a stealth game. So you don't mind it too much, but it definitely stands out in Prey. So playing on PC helps out tremendously in Prey, makes the combat way funner. So that's a good game to play through if you haven't gotten to that yet, especially since I believe there's been some rumors circulating about there being a Moon DLC or something of that coming out at E3. So if that's the case, that's fun. I'm playing through Rage again. I want to get through that. I think that's a pretty underappreciated game that came out a while ago that I don't think created too much of a buzz when it came out. I know on PC it had a few problems running when it first came out, but I played it on 360, and for the time it was graphically stunning. I remember when it was first unveiled on E3, I was watching the X-Play coverage of E3. That's how far away, far back it was. And I remember Adam Sessler asking one of the guys, like, this is on 360, right? Like, this looks incredible. This looks too good to be on 360. But I think they, like, handcrafted everything in that game, even the, the mountains and stuff. So it just graphically looked amazing. And the game's fun. It does feel a little dated now. It's a fairly simple first person shooter, but it is still fun. There's a charm to it that the game has, and it's dirt cheap, literally anywhere. I picked it up for like 80 cents somewhere. So I know I will probably talk about the E3 leaks, but with Rage 2 pretty much being confirmed, and I'm sure on Monday it will be officially confirmed when this podcast comes out. I know at the time we're recording this, Bethesda has a tweet out with today's date with Monday's date and some dude's teeth. So I'm sure that'll be confirmed. But with that coming out, you might have an interest in just at least dabbling in Rage. Like I said, with it being so cheap. So I played that. I know this is going to sound a little weird, and I'm definitely late to the party for this, but I picked up Madden 18.
Really?
Yeah.
Explain.
How do you feel about that? I told you I've been playing a lot of NCAA, and I'm actually still playing that. I just haven't really talked about it too much.
Is this the new Madden?
Yeah, came out last the year? Newest Madden. So I've been playing a lot of NCAA, and I've been having a lot of fun with that and the Dynasty mode, you know, going through college and stuff. And the other night on ESPN, there was a Madden esports showcase thing, and dude, this was really freaking cool, and I think this kind of shows what the future could be in esports. My uncle, my dad, my grandpa, and my mom and me were watching. It was in the background at first, this Madden tournament, and towards the end of one of the games, my entire family was completely fixated on this Madden tournament. Really? And was actually getting into it, dude. Because the game came down to just the wire. This dude threw a Hail Mary pass and caught it.
Sorry to interrupt you. Is Madden Esports like 1v1 or is there like
teams? Yes, it's 1v1.
Okay.
And it came to like a, I think the guy that was did a comeback, he like missed a wide open catch in the end zone and his dude dropped it. And my grandpa and dad were like, oh, like he didn't get it. And I was like, dude, we're watching Madden on TV. Yeah. My family's like into it. This is crazy. So that was just a really cool moment where it hit me. And the funny thing is my grandpa thought we were watching football.
Really?
Yeah, that's how good the graphics were. We were like halfway through like the game, he was like, wait, like he caught himself. He's like, this isn't real football. We're like, no, he completely thought that we were watching a football game.
Wow.
That's how good the graphics, you know, looked in that game. So that kind of gave me the urge to go out and buy it.
They got you.
And with it being like $20, I decided to pick it up. But it's a fun football game, especially going from NCAA 14 on the 360 up to this one graphically. And just there's so many more mechanics in this game. I'm having fun just dabbling in that.
Have you played the story thing?
The long shot? No, I haven't done that yet. I'm just playing through.
You plan on
dynasty mode as the Falcons, I guess. Just
it's not working.
What'd you say?
You'll just be disappointed.
Long shot's not worth it.
I'm a 4-0 right now, so I'm doing pretty good. Long shot's not worth it. Did you play it?
I played it.
Is it not good?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good. I just don't think it's worth playing through if you're just playing for the football.
Yeah.
The story's kind of whatever.
Mm.
Performances are solid, though. Really solid performances.
I wasn't going to play it anyways. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's fun to just
I will say football. What is kind of cool, though, I'll admit this, is if you finish it, depending on where you're characters get drafted into the NFL, you can continue beyond the story into like another version of like the simulation mode of the game. Mm-hmm. And they'll actually appear on both those teams they were drafted to as players. Mm-hmm. Even if you're playing against them, they'll be on those teams, which is kind of cool.
You mean both those teams?
Because there's two main characters in the game that it follows, and they both, I think they can maybe get drafted to the same team, but depending on how you perform and decisions you make throughout the story, they can get drafted to two different teams. And in my playthrough, actually, my main character did not get drafted.
Oh,
wow. but his buddy did. So that goes to show how bad I was really throughout the story. I was very, very bad. It took me like half an hour to beat this scrimmage when I met, what's his name from Dumb and Dumber from the Dolphins at the time? The football player.
Dumb and Dumber.
Dan.
You mean Ace Ventura?
Ace Ventura, yes, sorry.
Yeah, okay. Oh, Dan Marino?
Dan Marino, yeah. You meet Dan Marino throughout the story, and he's like, we're going to run a scrimmage 4-on-4 out here in this field. I just want to see what you're made of. And I lost like 10 times in a row. I was like, I'm sorry, nice. Dan. Promise cool. I'm better than this.
So I'm playing on like a slight simulation mode in the franchise. So you actually have to renegotiate contracts and stuff. And who's the running back for the Falcons?
Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, dude. What a bitch. I'm about to cut him. He keeps renegotiating. He's like, this isn't good enough. I'm like, I'm about to cut your ass, dude.
He got so a big, big deal this last year. So
I guess he kept complaining and someone caved and Preston won't
cave. He got hurt for like 8 weeks too. Dude, that is my one complaint so far. I don't know if I'm doing something wrong, but I'm getting injuries. I'm getting
injuries.
I'm getting injuries. I swear every
play. Can't you turn injuries off?
Yeah, I guess.
Nowadays, I thought you could set the percentages to when they occur.
There are percentages, but I've just left it. I know that is fun because you have to deal with it.
It's like all these obstacles I got to get around.
But it happens. I swear, my running back, I'm like on eighth string running back. They keep, you can't run him at all. So I guess that's something I need to switch him out more or something like that. But I'm running like maybe 4 or 5 plays and they're getting hurt.
You see the massive contract extension Matt Ryan just got?
Yeah.
Another one?
He's making $30 million now.
My goodness.
It's insane.
I guess if you come that close to victory, they're like, oh, we'll give you another chance, man. There's another $30
million. Let's move on.
To try again.
But I've been playing that. I got my copy of Double Agent for the original Xbox in. So get this. So on the Xbox 360 that I'm borrowing from you, I put it in there, press play. It says this game cannot start because the Xbox 360 doesn't have a hard drive. So I looked into it, and to play original Xbox games on a 360, you have to have a Microsoft-issued hard drive because the emulator that runs the Xbox is built within this hard drive. So it's like, oh, F me. So I had to go buy a hard drive for this.
Where'd you find it?
Xbox. Just I found a used one at some GameStop like 30 miles away. I was already out there, so it wasn't Ooh, excuse me. Wasn't too big of a deal. So I get home and I play it. And I know we had just had a question on one of our YouTube videos that I'd answered about playing
Splinter Cell,
which version to play. Mm-hmm. I gave an answer in the comments, but I'll be a little more elaborate here. Like I said in the comments, if you do like a Chaos Theory style, this is awesome. But I know a lot of people hate the next gen version, and on PC it definitely has its problems. Like I told you a few weeks ago, you have to play in a certain resolution sometimes for some cutscenes to happen and stuff. But that is a very solid Splinter Cell. It is dumbed down a teeny tiny bit there, but there really are some cool missions, and I think overall it is a solid game. But dude, this game has, and I've played this game before and I've beat it and I enjoyed it, has some crazy frame rate issues. Mm. I'm talking like dropping to what has to be the teens at some point.
So like Hunt Showdown.
Essentially.
Like Bloodborne.
Yeah. But it makes no sense. It's a very linear corridor-based stealth game with very few enemies. Like, it's not an intensive game at all. So I'm very confused as to why it's performing so badly. And I don't remember it performing this badly the first time I played it. So that's very much inhibiting my experience. And graphically, the game looks like straight dog ass. It looks
dog ass.
Awful. Like, way more. So the more I'm playing this, the more I'm like, man, are more people going to feel this way now? Because the first time I played this game was years ago. So I don't know if just things have progressed just too far now for me to enjoy this. But at the moment, after playing that, I'm kind of just recommending you play the next gen Splinter Cell at this point, because it was such a hassle for me to even play this game to begin with, having to go out and buy this hard drive and order this game and everything, and for it to perform as bad as it's performing. I'm going to see how much I can deal with it, because I do know it is a really good game past all of that stuff. So I played that, and I'm not going to get too much into it, but I started seriously playing Skyrim again, at least for the past couple of days, installing a ton of mods, something that I actually haven't done ever since I got into PC gaming. I totally see why people talk about Skyrim with mods, because it feels like a different game graphically and gameplay wise. Wow, children. It's like I have 5-year-olds at the table.
Dude, I didn't do anything. That was all Jacob.
I had something to do with my hands.
But your own breasts.
The main thing is there's this mod that mixes up the combat to be way more realistic, to where you don't have to smack things with your nerf sword for 5 hours, where depending on where you hit them, damage is done. Like if you hit them in the head, their magic won't regain as fast. Same thing with you. If certain parts of your body are damaged, it inhibits your stamina. Every attack takes away your stamina now.
Is this like that game called you guys played
on PC? Kingdom Come? Yeah. No, it's not as hardcore as that, but okay. It is definitely a very nice change up, knowing that you actually, if you time blocks well in this, it staggers them back more so and leaves them more open to attacks and stuff. So the combat is, so far from what I've played, at least the past 2 days I've played it, is way more enjoyable and more tactical and more gratifying than the vanilla game. And I did a mod to make the kill executions happen way more frequently. So I'm doing all these cool like decapitations and stuff way more frequently.
Man, I want to play that so bad.
Yeah, it's really fun. And
I just want to play video games.
Graphically, it looks way better to have downloaded all these texture mods. And another big one is, and I know this is hilarious because I imagine like this is all new, but people have been doing this for years, but the mod that makes the cities, there's no loading to go into them. The gates just open and you walk into them.
That's so impressive.
It's completely like full on open world. I know it still loads into caves and stuff, mm-hmm. but in terms of like Whiterun and Markarth, like all the actual cities, you just waltz right into them.
That's great.
So, I downloaded better female faces too, so they don't look scary or anything anymore. So there's just so many cool armors and stuff. It's really
remind
awesome.
Me where you're downloading these mods from.
I'm downloading them just when you start up Special Edition. You just
so
go
these are
to
only
them.
In Special Edition.
I mean, I'm sure there are mods for regular, but mm-hmm. I have Special Edition because it's the newest updated version.
Okay.
So, but I'm just going out of the mods tab that's inside the game. And I know there are more mods with like Nexus mods, which I know that's fairly easy to do. It's just a client you download and you do them through that. But I'm just using the mods that are already with the Bethesda stuff actually in the game. So
nice. Yeah,
that's just way easier for me as of now. So cool. Yeah, that's pretty much all I've done gameplay wise. I've not got Donkey Kong or anything. So.
Okay.
DK. Donkey Kong.
I'm not sure I will.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good game. You're missing out.
I know. I just haven't played my Switch in a while.
I understand. This Switch is the first time I've played my Switch in a while as well, but I'm loving it.
The next thing that's really on my radar is Smash Brothers. Yes, you know, and Metroid Prime 4, of course, as far as Switch goes.
You mentioned you wanted to play Bayonetta.
Yeah, I thought I was going somewhere, but I didn't end up going there. But if I am traveling or something, I think Bayonetta would be the game. Granted, I don't want to play Bayonetta on the plane. I don't want some guy next to me to look down and see Bayonetta.
What the hell, kid?
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much all I did this week gaming wise. You guys think Metroid Prime 4 is coming out this year?
No.
Next year.
I think Pokemon might hit. Maybe. I don't think so though. I think it'll just be Smash this fall.
Gosh. If Pokemon came. No. Yeah. I don't think Pokemon's coming out this year. I think Smash is the only Nintendo thing. This holiday season is, like we were talking about previously, when we were mentioning Destiny, it's just so cram-packed.
Yeah, I'm impressed the last 3 years. This will make the third year in a row where the holiday season, just the fall and holiday season, is unbelievable. And it's just jam-packed of so many good things.
That's so great.
I'm so excited.
Maybe we get Octopath Traveler this summer. That'll be cool.
Oh, yeah? That is a cool game.
Are you not excited for that?
I'm not excited, but I'm going to get it.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep this blanket off of my knees.
Yeah,
it's so hot.
It is pulled way too far to your side. I'm sorry.
Yeah, luckily, that's not even... It's barely over the table over here by me.
It's fine. I'll manage. But no, it is an exciting time, dude. With E3 just being next month,
It's exactly a month away.
I'm like hyped beyond belief to just witness E3. I think E3 is my second favorite time of the year.
What's the first?
Well, Christmas. Obviously, Christmas and E3 are almost neck and neck with just times of the year to be hyped.
I think we share that sentiment. I agree.
Yeah, there's just no other feeling. Just waking up and knowing that your life could change that night.
It could. We've seen it happen. We've experienced it together.
So that and just looking forward to the holiday season. It's what gives you the will to live.
It does. Yeah, it's what keeps you going.
Knowing what's coming out in the
future. Gets you through the dark times.
Exactly.
So,
but anything else you guys like to talk about before we jump into the news?
I don't think so.
Awesome. Well, this is the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast, the show where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games. Obviously, you can find all of our content, including the video version of this podcast, over at youtube.com/ It's Obvious Gaming. If YouTube isn't good for you, or you'd like to take us on the go, you can find this podcast weekly on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Audio Boom, and other podcasting services. Please check the description down below for timestamps to skip throughout the podcast, links to our social media pages, our gamer tags, pretty much anything you would ever need to get in contact with us. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the channel and be sure to like and comment down below to get involved with the It's Obvious community. Doing so helps us out tremendously, and we would forever be in your debt. With all that out of the way, hey man, what's the news?
Thanos is temporarily in Fortnite, and that's pretty crazy. You guys seen him in action?
You heard it here first.
Yeah, because you guys
didn't know. Yeah.
I just really want to get your guys' thoughts on this, because I thought it was quite the insane announcement. It reminded me of that Dumb and Dumber quote where Harry or Lloyd drives up on Harry in the middle of the desert, and Lloyd's on the scooter, and and Harry's like, "Just when I thought you couldn't get any dumber, you go and do something like this." But in this case, just when I thought Fortnite couldn't get any bigger, they go and do something like this, where they cross over with arguably the biggest, it is the biggest film franchise in the world at the moment. And just with the hype of Infinity War being this big cultural event, and then crossing these two big cultural events into one thing was pretty wild.
I think doing it at the perfect time as well. They didn't do it right when things came out. It's like, granted, Infinity War is still a big talking point, but it died off just a little bit since everybody's seen it, and then it just pops up out of nowhere.
Let's, before we continue this conversation, let this whole air flow for a moment. I feel so bad we have to keep doing that every episode. In the summertime, the air comes on, and sometimes we start. It's like, I think it comes on every like half hour or so. And we typically start when it's not
going. Do you leave
that
in? We just pause?
I leave it in, yeah.
Yeah, we just awkward pause in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you like edited
no,
it
out. It's not that bad. Unless you guys totally hate that, I'll start cutting it out.
Have you seen the pictures of people taking pictures of the poster of Infinity War? And they're like, dude, they put that guy from Fortnite in his own movie.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, it's I liked IGN's video because that's exactly what I thought, even beyond like, oh, how cool it was that you can play as Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet and and wreck everyone in Fortnite Battle Royale is cool enough. But how that could potentially open the door for all sorts of crossovers going forward. Now, I don't know how long the hype train is going to last for Fortnite. If they continually update it like they have been, I imagine it's going to survive for a long time coming. It's the biggest game in the world by far, especially when even celebrities know of it, at the very least know of it, of its existence. And some even, like, we know the story behind Thanos is that Joe and Anthony Russo were playing Fortnite in between the editing phase of Infinity War, and like, how cool would it be if we put Thanos in Fortnite? So that's pretty crazy.
I just showed you all at lunch a picture of freaking Mark Cuban taking a selfie with Ninja, and I know he's playing Fortnite. He's tweeted about it before. It's just ridiculous.
It's just, it blows my mind how that game was just basically nothing to what it is now. Not even a year later. Much less than a year later. It's the biggest game on the planet. It's crazy. So I've seen Thanos in action. It looks like fun. I will admit, I'm like, man, maybe I kind of want to dabble in Fortnite just to see if I can get the Infinity Gauntlet and run around. But I haven't tried it yet. I haven't had time. So
it looks kind of cool.
It does.
Yeah.
Pretty sick, brah. We saw a Black Ops 4 Zombies tease, that little image of the guy in the mask. I already forgot what it said, but no surprise there. Everyone knew Zombies was going to be in there. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, totally, dude. What about the Atomic Hearts trailer? How do you guys feel about this? Have you seen it? You haven't seen the trailer yet.
Oh, we just watched it.
Okay, you watched it. I thought you were just looking at screenshots. Have you seen the trailer, Jacob? Did you watch it with Preston?
I watched it with you.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you did, unless you were just looking off to the right.
That the game looked like Bioshock.
Yeah,
that is a good way of putting it. Kind of looks like a cross between the world of Nier.
Dude,
mixed
I went
with
from
gameplay of Bioshock,
not knowing about that game literally 15 minutes ago, to being pretty hyped for it just by looking at that trailer.
Yeah, it looks super cool. Yeah. It looks pretty polished too. Like, I think it's an indie dev from they're called Mundfish.
Yeah,
M-U-N-D Fish.
Their YouTube page had like 1,000 subscribers. So
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
it's coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC. The synopsis is Atomic Hearts is an adventure first-person shooter, events of which unfolds in an alternate universe during the high noon of the Soviet Union.
I'm into that.
Damn, so check out the trailer if you guys haven't seen it. It looks pretty rad.
Yeah, especially if you're into, you know, Bioshock, stuff like that, definitely check it out.
Absolutely. Square Enix has announced they will have an E3 showcase that is pre-recorded, not unlike a Nintendo Direct at E3 this year. So that's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, better than last thing they did.
Yeah.
Is that
the one at the end they invited like all the developers onto the stage and they like danced around and like celebrated and stuff?
I think so. I remember I woke up really early, but it wasn't even early. You were still asleep through the first half of it.
Yeah.
And you like came in like you didn't miss anything.
Dude. Yeah.
That wasn't last year, right?
It was
2 years
2015,
ago.
2015, I think, or something. Yeah, I just remember them showing Just Cause 3 stuff, and I think they showed Nier Automata, I think. I don't know.
So we'll probably see some Shadow of the Tomb Raider, for sure. Kingdom Hearts 3, probably at this point.
I expect a release date from that.
It has to happen.
We'll probably get some Tomb Raider gameplay, of course. Yeah, I wonder if like they're going to... like.
Are we going to get to...
I don't know yet. I haven't heard.
Okay.
So I know people have gameplay. I don't know when the embargo is.
Okay.
So if we don't see it before E3, we'll definitely see it at E3. If not more of what we'll probably have already seen by then.
Gotcha.
Maybe we'll see.
I'm sure we'll see something before E3 for Tomb Raider. I just have a feeling in my stomach.
We've heard enough. Why would they not show anything?
Yeah.
So maybe some of Crystal Dynamics Avengers Project. I think it's smart of them to at least tease something new, especially after Infinity War. It's perfect timing.
I agree.
They absolutely should.
Gosh, I'm so just incredibly interested to see what the heck that game even is.
What could it be? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be Gears of War style like we've heard?
Speaking of Square Enix, I just had read before we started that one of the Deus Ex original developers, which I think they're, I forget if they're working on Tomb Raider right now or if they're
Eidos Montreal is working on Tomb Raider.
Okay, yeah, one of the main guys came out and said that Deus Ex is not dead.
I did hear that, yeah, they're not giving up on it.
That's awesome. Don't say that, Jane.
Yay.
Man, Mankind Divided was awesome.
I know.
I like that
game. Gets some hate, I understand, but still awesome.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Have there been two or three Deus Ex games?
In total?
Yeah. I think there's been much more than three.
Yeah.
But like the three main ones that have come out in like the last decade.
The reboot, there's been two. There's been Human Revolution and Mankind Divided. I believe the original retro one, which I've yet to play, which I will someday regard as one of the best games of all time. I believe there's two or three of those original ones. Don't remember though.
Dragon Quest XI is supposed to
I'm appear. Interested in that game. Mm-hmm. It's coming out at just an awful time.
Yes.
September 4th, I think.
We'll see how they fare.
Like a week before Spider-Man.
Maybe there's a core audience that's pumped for it.
I'm sure.
Wasn't it delayed on Switch or something? I feel like that was a news headline.
I feel like I did read that as well. I did read that somewhere.
Or maybe I'm just thinking of Dark Souls.
I think they couldn't get it to work on Switch. I thought I read that. I think it's on Unreal Engine and something. That Unreal Engine.
Yeah, it definitely was a story because it was like, when they first revealed the Switch, they had that reel and that game was in it, I think.
Was it? I know there was a Dragon Quest Heroes that was on Switch. That was like those games where you just kill everything. Was it
like that Builder game?
That's Dragon Quest Builders.
Yeah. Is there another Dragon Quest game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. But the game does look really awesome, and I hope to one day get to it.
You think we'll see the Final Fantasy VII remake?
I think so.
I saw one leak say that episode one is going to be due early 2019.
Okay.
But I also heard some people saying that they're completely dropping the episodic stuff.
And just remaking the game?
Remaking it. So I don't know what to believe. There's so much crap once it gets to E3. And all of this is just stuff I'm reading. It's not verified. So I'm essentially just speaking out of my ass right now. So.
Time will tell. Left Alive, coming from the devs of Armored Core and Metal Gear. Haven't heard anything about this.
Until now, I've never heard of it.
Me neither. Apparently, we're going to see that. Anyway, detail Sony's E3 showcase for us. I haven't read about it at all.
Sony?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you haven't?
No. I mean, you told me about it in the car earlier.
Yeah, Sean Layden pretty much. I think he said in a PlayStation blog, and I don't know if I think they've made an official post at this point as well, that they're going to do more of a in-depth showing of their four main titles, which would include Death Stranding, Last of Us Part 2, Spider-Man, and Ghost of Tsushima. So they're going to do deep dives into that, and I know they'll have third-party reveals and probably exclusive content and probably some VR stuff as well.
I'm intrigued to know more about Ghost of Tsushima.
I'm
really looking forward to that.
Yeah, same here. And based on what he said, we should see a significant portion of those four games in the showcase. I know a lot of people are pretty concerned based on this wording was kind of used in PSX last year, and that was, you know, not
pretty underwhelming.
Yeah, very underwhelming. So I'm sure it'll still be like a traditional conference, because I know there's a lot of rumors saying that the new Devil May Cry could be revealed here. Some third-party announcements or exclusivities could be coming out as well. So
I'd like it just to be traditional in the sense where they do a general showcase like they always have, and then post-showcase during the week of E3 when everyone's on the floor, where they have just in-depth interviews and discussions about everything they revealed.
I mean, I would love for them just to come out and do live demos of these four games, and them to be pretty in-depth, either 10 to 15 minutes. Imagine the initial God of War reveal that we had, just something like that, something lengthy like that for all four of these games. That'd be great. I think that would be awesome.
Do you prefer like a live demo over just a demo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's what the game is.
I mean, I'm fine with either, as long as it's full-on gameplay. Whether it's live or pre-recorded,
there's just something cool about seeing the dude with the controller up there on stage. I really enjoyed the first time we saw Uncharted 4 at a PSX all these years ago, where the guy literally fell off the cliff and died. I just thought that was cool, knowing that this isn't pre-rendered, just cut tape that they're showing to us. It's the actual game that they're showing us. I think that's cool. I know, same thing with God of War as well.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be necessary to see any Days Gone stuff because of Game Informer's coverage.
Yep, Game Informer has a ton of it, and I'm sure if they're doing a pre or post E3, I'm sure they'll be there at some point. We'll see a little bit of it, but like you said, with it coming out in early 2019, I believe that's what they said, and Game Informer getting just a crap ton of coverage this month, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw literally in the ending or opening cinematic, see something about it, or maybe just a quick blurb of maybe a release date or just a quick tiny trailer. Because granted, I would have to look at the statement again, but I know he said they were going to go fully in depth for these four games. I don't know if that necessarily means they wouldn't be showing any small trailers or anything for any of the other games that they have coming, first party wise, like Dreams, Days Gone. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Some of their VR stuff, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you going to be disappointed to see more Spider-Man? Because I know you've said that you don't want to see more.
No, I mean, I really haven't. I know Game Informer did a cover story, but I haven't seen a lot.
Yeah, really. It's been very snippety. It's just little bits and pieces.
I've seen clips of swinging. I've seen more clips of combat, and I know more things, but I would be completely fine to see a 10-minute demo, actual city traversal into combat, blah, 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 stuff like that. I'd be completely fine. Then I would be done. I would be completely done at that point.
Yeah, I just want to see some open world exploration.
Yeah.
Where it's not even really scripted. They just tell the demo guy, I mean, obviously they'll probably have rehearsed it, but do these things in the open world so people have an idea of the stuff you'll be doing in the open world. So
I know some people are pretty bummed that we're not going to be getting any more massive reveals, but I mean,
you can't do it every year.
I know. I mean, literally the only studio, what first party studio do we not know is working on something? I know Studio Japan, they did The Last Guardian, so they might be, they're working on something. Guerrilla hasn't, released Horizon a year and a quarter ago or something. I mean, we know they're working on Horizon 2, but that's not going to be revealed.
Is Bluehole working on another PlayStation classic or just another classic game?
Based on a leak I saw, they're working on something PlayStation related.
Okay, so you would imagine, I know they're not necessarily first party, but it would be, it would make sense for them to reveal whatever it is they're working on.
Well, PlayStation said there would be third party reveals.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's that other leak.
I imagine
Devil May Cry PlayStation exclusive.
Do you think that's what they're working on?
Bluepoint?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
I think.
Because they're working on just another remaster or remake.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They've confirmed that it's a very big, substantial remake of something.
I think they're going to reveal what it is at E3.
Do you think you know?
I don't know what it is. I don't have any idea what it
is. If it would be Sony, it would have to be obviously something, a Sony IP.
But there's so many Sony IP from back in the day.
I can't even think of one that I would like.
That they're hyping up to this point where they're it's so classic, everyone loves
it. Something bigger than Shadow of the Colossus?
Yeah, that's pretty, it's hard. Yeah, I can't think of anything beyond that.
Sly Cooper.
Yeah. I'd play it, dude.
Yeah.
But I do think they'll reveal whatever it is, even if it's a brief little teaser trailer and people will be like, oh my gosh!
Yeah.
So maybe we'll see some, no, that's coming to Xbox as well.
What
do you think they're going to show off Spyro for fun, a little Spyro?
Oh, I don't know.
When does that come out again?
Is it August?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm still hyped for Sony.
Me too.
It's is some people being bummed. I'm like, did you just read those four games to yourself and were disappointed that we were going to see a significant portion or a decent sized portion of these four games that are probably each going to be incredible experiences? I'm just hyped to see what does Death Stranding look like gameplay wise.
I just want to see it in action. It's time.
What is The Last of Us 2 going to look like? just when I hark back to the original gameplay reveal of The Last of Us, how are they going to top that?
Do you want to predict that the demo will start when you're playing as Ellie? Do you think that's how it's going to start?
I mean, they've already confirmed you play as Ellie.
The whole game?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I forgot that.
Ellie is the main character.
I haven't read anything about Last of Us since like the week they revealed it. Yeah. So
I'm pretty sure that was revealed the week that they had revealed it.
Very cool.
So for sure.
It's going to be cool.
Yeah, I'm pumped for
regardless.
Yeah. I know not #fanboys, but I'm actually pretty hyped for Microsoft.
No, so am I. I've been talking about that in recent weeks, even on COG's podcast. I talked about how much hope I have for Microsoft because I really, really want to see some cool stuff from them.
Primarily, I really believe that Cyberpunk is going to be at their conference, and I really want to see that.
Show it off on that 1X.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm hyped about.
But, you have to imagine they have a juicy exclusive at this point.
You know what? You would think.
Yeah.
I'm calling it now. I think
they're officially going to reveal who is, in fact, working on the next Fable. It's going to be, even if it's like a logo of just Fable, they're going to reveal who's
working on it. It's got to be the Horizon.
I mean, the Forza
Horizon.
Yeah, the Playground.
Yeah.
So
it's got to be them.
Yes, it probably is them. And I think they will officially
announce it. They've been working on an adventure-ish open world game.
They need exclusives. And even if they're just announcing an exclusive would be good enough at the very least. So,
dude, I'd be hyped. New Fable?
Me too.
Are you kidding me?
As long as it's better than Fable 3, I'll be excited.
I'm sure it'd be a complete... So. Yeah, for sure. Man, and then Ubisoft too, man. We're getting a new Splinter Cell.
Yes, we are.
So hyped for that. Holy crap.
While you mention that, let's talk about the Walmart E3 leak.
All right.
So some of these may be true. Some of them may not be true. We don't know for sure. I think a lot of it probably is true.
I think
true.
A lot of them are very true.
Yeah. So on the Walmart leak, we had Just Cause 4, Splinter Cell, Dragon Quest 2 for PS4 and Xbox One, Lego DC Villains, Borderlands 3, Rage 2, which is the one everyone really got hyped about or just interested in, everyone was talking about, Gears of War 5, Forza Horizon 5, and Assassin's Creed.
Now, there's a few things that I shouldn't have said they're mostly true because I think there are some things that are very weird in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Assassin's Creed. I don't think we're getting a new Assassin's Creed game this year.
I don't think so either.
It would have leaked by now.
If anything, maybe it's DLC or something or like a special edition. I don't know.
I could see them doing that.
I don't know. Forza Horizon 5. There was no Forza Horizon 4.
Right.
It could be a typo.
So, aren't we the year that a regular Forza is supposed to come out?
That's
or was
what
that
I thought.
Last year?
No, that was last year.
That was last year. Okay, so Forza Horizon 4 is supposed to come out.
Yeah, but then again, the Horizon, we think the Horizon studio is working on, you know, Fable, right? So,
yeah.
Is a new team working on Horizon?
I don't know anything about the Microsoft first party developers or whatever they are, so I have no clue. Gears of War 5, I think that's believable. I think we're due another Gears.
But then why isn't Halo on that list? You know?
Yeah, there are some things.
I think
Just
we're
Cause
definitely
4,
seeing something Halo related.
Just Cause 4. Yeah, I thought that
I
was a little weird.
That.
I think does anybody want a Just Cause 4? How good did 3 do?
I don't think it did.
I haven't heard anybody talk about Just Cause.
Me neither.
So Splinter Cell is
clearly
a solid lock that's happening.
I'm
I don't
so
get
sure.
Oh, for
it
sure.
It definitely is.
For sure, for
it
sure.
Is.
Michael Ironside isn't doing his press tour for Ghost Recon.
I just don't want you to be disappointed if it doesn't happen.
It's happening.
It is.
For sure. I would bet everything on it.
Oh, God.
So I'll eat crow if it doesn't, but it totally is.
What about Borderlands 3? Do we think it's going to be at Microsoft's conference?
We'll see it.
I think it will be at Microsoft's.
I know Gearbox said a while ago. Rage 2 is essentially, like we talked previously, it's pretty much confirmed.
Do you think Borderlands 3 comes out this year?
No. I think it's definitely next year for sure, though. Okay. It's coming out in 2019.
Dragon Quest 2 confuses me as well, because I don't know enough about Dragon Quest to even talk not like intellectually about this. But Dragon Quest 11 is coming out this September, so I don't know if they're doing like a remake of
maybe
the second one or something. I have no clue, so I can't really speak to that. I think Lego DC Villains, that sounds very. That sounds like a actual, like, I can't
like
think
spin-off of, Lego title.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem like something somebody would just come up with out of nowhere. Like, oh, right. We're going to guess. That seems way too precise to just guess. So I believe that one.
I've ruined this one.
See, either this is all real or this is some Walmart employee's dream list for E3. His wish list of reveals.
Yeah. I don't know. I think some of it has merit, but.
We're going to find out soon. We'll do our
I would love there to be a new Assassin's Creed game in the same vein of Origins, but I like I said, typically Assassin's Creed leaks, it will have leaked by now. Just definitely the title or something, unless mm-hmm. they've changed everything to where the second anything enters that build. That's the thing. Assassin's Creed is produced from like so many studios all over the world. That's why it's like, that's at least my theory of why it leaks so easily every year. That somebody opens their mouth. There's so many people working on that game that somebody's opened their mouth.
Right. Well, on that note, let's talk about the Nintendo Online and virtual console services that were kind of detailed this week. Hot topic at the moment. It says, after, I don't remember where I got this from, some Nintendo website. I apologize to the author. This is not my writing. This is someone else.
Wow.
After several delays, it appears that Nintendo is finally going to jumpstart its Nintendo Switch online services this fall. Today, the company revealed a new section on its website detailing the various features and price points the service will offer. Here's a quick rundown. The main features of the service are online play, cloud saves, access to a library of NES titles, usage of the Nintendo Switch online mobile app, and special offers which are currently unspecified. Also goes on to say that you are not required to purchase NSO services to access the eShop, manage friends, share screenshots / videos, or update your system. The service will cost $3.99 for 1 month, $7.99 for 3 months, and $19.99 for 1 year. You can also purchase a 1 year family membership for $34.99. That allows up to 8 Nintendo account holders to have access to NSO services. Considering that's less than the price of just 2 people getting it for 1 year, it seems like a great deal. NSO services are tied to a Nintendo account. Thus, if you have 2 separate users on the same Switch, you can't use one account for both, necessitating the family plan. Not all games will require NSO to play online. It seems all Nintendo first and second party titles, such as Splatoon 2, ARMS, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, etc., will absolutely require it, but it may vary. There will be 20 NES games available at launch, with more added in the future. At the moment, we know of 10 of them. Soccer, Tennis, Donkey Kong, Mario Bros., Super Mario Bros., Balloon Fight, Ice Climber, Dr. Mario, The Legend of Zelda, and Super Mario Bros. 3. NSO will work with parental controls. And a couple more says NSO, as its name would imply, it's only for Switch services and thus is not needed for Wii U and 3DS services. And lastly, more details including particulars on cloud services are scheduled to follow sometime in the future. So yeah.
I think the coolest thing is the cloud saves, right?
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, did it hit
it's absolutely necessary for sure.
Yeah, the NES games that come with it.
Especially if they like release new iterations of the Switch.
Yeah, I went through the NES games.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's fine, and I know there's a lot of hoopla about the virtual console. I think that's the big thing that stood up is them saying that, or stood out, that them talking about how they have no plans to really do a virtual console like they've done on their other systems, which, like, I don't think that's too big of a deal. I think that if those games come back, they will just be a part of the online eShop that they have right now. I think that, just my theory, is they're just not going to call it the virtual console. It's just going to be there to buy. So I don't think that's
cool with me if it's all just tied to the eShop.
Yeah,
it's like, pop in there and be like, I'd like to play Majora's Mask on my Switch, please.
Are you guys gonna do this?
No,
I'm not either.
Me neither.
If I want to play Smash Online, then yes. Otherwise, no.
Yeah, for Smash, probably, even if it's just for a month, I'd do it. And I'm not opposed to paying $20 a year for Nintendo services. I just don't even play my Switch that much already.
Yeah, maybe if... I mean, I'm going to be honest. I could care less about the Nintendo games.
Yeah, I don't care about
them. I could literally care less. So unless they start doing better games, new, like SNES or GameCube, for instance, or something like that, that's not going to entice me to subscribe to them yearly or whatever.
Yeah. So I think they'd be crazy not to try to implement select GameCube games and N64 games onto the Switch, man. Mm-hmm. With everything that thing can do, they'd be insane not to at least port a few.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I agree.
That's got to happen.
But will they?
So I just want every Zelda game on the Switch. That's they all belong I want in there. I just want them all.
They absolutely belong.
Mm-hmm. Do they belong on there, Garrett?
They do.
They do.
Who are you to say where they belong?
I'll say it.
Who are you to say where they belong?
I can say
Tell
it.
Tell me.
I'm worthy.
Okay. That's all I wanted to hear.
I agree.
Thank you. I want a Switch port of Skyward Sword with completely new controls.
Just, that'd be awesome. Where you use just the Joy-Cons, but not actually move them. You just use the sticks like it, like a normal Zelda game.
Just a regular Zelda game. I don't know how they would do that because so many bosses and enemies are built around slicing correctly and stuff. Right. No clue how they'd do it, but I would somehow like to see that. Could be cool with the Joy-Cons, huh?
Like, I don't know. I don't know how that game works, but I could just see like having a shield as the left Joy-Con and maybe the right as the sword. I mean, I don't know.
It wouldn't be portable though.
Right.
They'd have to make it like Metal Gear Solid, the Rising Revengeance, where you actually can calculate the angle at which you swing and stuff. I feel like that'd be the only way they could get around it without using motion controls.
Mm-hmm.
I was brushing your fur, Jacob.
Thanks.
I'm not saying I want that. I don't want that. That sounds dumb, but...
What?
I don't want Metal Gear Rising Revengeance controls for Skyward Sword. Oh.
That's the one we can slice guys in all different directions,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember enjoying that demo.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool.
I never played that game. I always wanted to, though. I might one day.
Look kind of nifty. Mm-hmm. What was that character's name? He has the white hair.
Raiden. Platinum Games made that.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All that hacking and slashing.
Mm-hmm. Really cool boss fights. It's on PC. I forgot I can just play games now.
Games. Did you hear about the Steam app?
On mobile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a Steam controller. You can, if your PC's connected with the 5 gigahertz.
I don't want the Steam controller.
But like you can play it on your phone with that controller if your PC's on.
Yeah. That's just like wireless. You can do that with PlayStation.
Yeah, but still, that's just kind of cool with all those PC games.
Yeah.
So... I just thought it's nifty, man. It's cool for people that are into that.
Yeah.
Lastly, our final news story revolves around Battlefield 1 single player. This comes from Joe Screbs, Screb Dog.
I thought you said Battlefront.
No, like, Battlefield 1.
Excuse me?
What? So says, or Mr. Screbble says, the upcoming Battlefield 5 will include, quote, compelling single-player stories, seemingly pointing to a continuation of the campaign style introduced in Battlefield 1.
Excellent. I'll be the judge of that.
I didn't mean to write Battlefield 1 single-player. I just meant to write Battlefield, the next Battlefield single-player. He says, while Battlefield's traditional competitor Call of Duty has apparently dropped a single-player mode for this year's Black Ops 4, it seems DICE and EA will not be following suit. As part of yesterday's earning report, EA CEO... Andrew Wilson described the upcoming game, quote, with our next Battlefield game, the team at DICE is bringing the intensity of combat to life in new and unexpected ways. Every battle is unique and every mode brings its own challenges, from the way you interact with the environment around you to compelling single-player stories to the next level of large-scale multiplayer that spans across multiple maps and modes. I think it's obvious Battle Royale is going to happen. I think the vignettes are going to be back. I hope it's World War II because this gives them a chance to explore all the different theaters of World War II and just different countries as well. I like to see a Russian story. I like to see an American story. Maybe imagine this would be crazy. Imagine if you play on the Japanese side in like Guatemala or something for a mission. It's like a heartfelt Japanese story. That'd be kind of cool.
Garrett,
I'd like to see
the enemy.
Yeah, I'd like to see all stories from World War II explored. I think it'd be really cool. A lot of potential there, and I think it's the perfect way to kind of encapsulate all of World War II in a campaign.
I
do like Band of Brothers style, how World War II's or Call of Duty World War II's campaign was about the one brotherly squad. And I liked aspects of that campaign, but we all have been in unison about saying it's just okay. But I have high hopes for Battlefield. I really, really liked Battlefield 1. I've yet to play it on PC. I still want to. I mean, I still think even on PS4 it ran incredibly well. So I had no complaints there, but... I'm excited for this, especially if it's World War II. So.
I really enjoyed the vignette thing that they did for Battlefield 1.
It's funny. So, I never finished them, but
unique and they're all good. And they're all nice.
Even the ones I played, I was like, I kind of like this version of storytelling. So it's kind of like short films within a video game that you're seeing for all these different characters.
It cool. keeps my attention just long enough to where like I'm not bored or anything.
Yeah.
I found myself getting like, oh, when's this going to end in like Call of Duty, for example, in World War II?
I want them to be bold and one-up Call of Duty World War II's D-Day experience. Because Battlefield has the potential to one-up it big time. And imagine if that's just a single campaign mission.
For sure.
And it's just a lengthy campaign vignette. That'd be so awesome.
I agree.
So I think they should do it, man. Don't,
I agree.
Don't go in guns blazing.
They'll do it.
But do I have time to play it this fall? That's another question.
Do you have time to play it?
Yeah, dude. With Red Dead?
I get it, man. Spider-Man, Red Dead, Battlefield, Call of Duty.
So much going on.
All the bro games, dude.
Shadow of Tomb Raider.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider. What else is in there? I know there's more.
Shadow's going to get forgotten, unfortunately.
I won't forget it.
I will be playing it.
Forgotten.
It'll be in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying you guys are going to forget it.
Just Lara Croft.
The mess.
The dark years of Lara Croft.
Populate the gamers.
Okay, you want to get pissed off right now?
No,
about to piss both of you guys off.
Dude, I got to poop so bad.
Confirmed. No dual pistols. Confirmed.
Do you think they're just saying that to surprise people at the end? Because I did read that, but I wasn't sure I wanted to believe it.
I don't think so. I think they're so obsessed with, this is our Lara. Her bow is the thing that she needs to.
I think they're lying, dude. I think they're gonna.
I hope they're lying.
I can't say this about God of War. I was about to say something. I think at the end of the game they're gonna surprise people. I just think they want to make people think it's not gonna happen. So then when it does happen, they're like, "Oh, they were just kidding." They'd be crazy not to, man.
Dude. I don't think.
Get me wrong. It won't kill me if they're not in there. I don't need them to be in there, but I think it'd be really cool if they were.
Yeah.
Because think of the ways you upgrade her bow.
We're not
the game.
Asking. I understand you want your own Lara. Nobody's complaining about her boobs being too small or that she's not showing enough skin. None of those old like Lara tropes. We just want her tool pistols.
Yeah.
Those are like her. Even in the new reboot movie.
Yeah.
They play with.
I'll
that
take
too.
Two.
Yeah. Like. Come on.
That movie probably made like $10, dude. I didn't hear anyone talk about it.
I really liked that.
I liked it too. I thought it was a fun time.
It was fun.
Did you ever see Ready Player One?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
I didn't either.
No one was blown away by it, it seems. So I was just kind
of
like...
I heard a lot of people like it.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people like it. A lot of people didn't like it.
Mm.
It's a Steven Spielberg movie.
I'm going to watch it for sure.
He can do no wrong.
I think it looks cool. I think I'd probably enjoy it. I'm going to wait till it comes out on Blu-ray and watch it.
I'm going to wait till it comes out on VR so I can watch it in VR.
It'd be kind of cool.
On VR.
Good one. You technically could watch it in PlayStation VR.
Can you?
Mm-hmm. You can watch 3D movies in PlayStation VR.
That's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I mean, it's just like watching a movie.
But it's in VR.
I mean, it's just like right here, right?
But it's 3D.
So?
Does anything impress you?
No, 3D movies don't impress me.
3D and movies are the future, Jacob.
What people used to say.
You should be blown away by them.
Yeah, the 3D fad, I think, is definitely dead. I mean, a lot of movies
still... I used to like be blown away by them. I was like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah, a lot of big blockbusters release in 3D. I think studios are hoping like, oh, maybe the idiots will still buy our 3D tickets. We'll get that extra money. But most people don't see it. Even like at press screenings nowadays, like for Infinity War, they showed it in 2D. They don't show it in 3D anymore like they used to.
I mean, it's cool, but... It's so much more expensive. Yeah. It's not worth it.
I don't like seeing into the screen either. I know like the gimmicks of 3D aren't used anymore. Like someone reaches out at you or anything so much anymore.
Like
but it just
Spy Kids.
It literally does look like you're looking into a window of the movie, which I don't really like that.
I'll never forget those old Spy Kid movies. Spy Kids movies.
Well, Spy Kids 3 did that.
Yeah.
So I'll never forget it. I can quote that movie almost from start to finish.
What
it's
a bad
so funny.
Movie, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's the first line?
I'll remember. It's Junie talking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's about him wearing his trench coat walking around the abandoned theme park and everything.
Was Taylor Lautner in that movie? Or was that the first?
No.
I didn't know if they like switched the cast.
He was never in Spy Kids. He was in Sharkboy and Lavagirl. Same director.
Oh, God.
Same director,
mixing
but different
things
movies.
Up now.
Elijah Wood was in Spy Kids 3D.
For like 5 seconds.
He was the guy.
What a movie.
Yeah. Really revolutionized 3D filmmaking and just visual effects in general.
I know nobody might have any clue what I'm talking about, but the Pretty Much It's watch along audio for Spy Kids 3.
They did one.
Yeah, and I actually purchased it and watched it along with the movie, and it was freaking hilarious.
I bet, man.
Yeah.
That's great. I feel like we should do commentary on some stuff. I think it'd be a good time. We should do commentary on a film and see how people like it.
Spadooshed water all over my pants.
Maybe we could do Batman and Robin.
Okay.
I think it'd be kind of fun. Maybe Spider-Man 3. Something like that.
Okay, Garrett.
You guys want to move on to community questions?
Yeah.
I'd love to.
Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the final aspect of this podcast, the final chunk. Thank you so much for taking time out of your days to submit questions for this show and Ask IOG, which, fun fact, the community questions this week, with the exception of one of them, are pulled from Ask IOG questions that we have.
I just caved it in.
You've really been messing with that the whole time. Our whole audio is going to sound like,
I know,
like this the whole time.
We got a problem.
You need to take things away from me. Whenever we've had a pen on the table, I have to take it from you too because you keep clicking it.
Yeah, that's always
like
need
a
to
child.
Be doing something.
It's okay, Jacob. But as I was saying, these week's this week's questions are Ask.IOG based because didn't really receive any video game related ones, and I feel bad that we haven't done Ask.IOG in a while. So this one's gonna be a little more personal. It'll be fun. And as always, these questions are not just for us. If you guys hear these questions and you feel like answering them yourselves, we'd love to hear from you in the comments below. So please comment. What do I have to say after that? Oh, yeah. If you want your questions read on this show or Ask.IOG, you can submit them in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming or submit your questions in the Ask.IOG section of our Discord channel. And if you want to reach us in any of those places, all of that information can be found in every single description of our YouTube videos and every podcasting service we're on. So we encourage you to reach out to us there. With all that out of the way, let's start with number one. Comes from Jacob Walters. Jacob says, "Greetings, boys." Excuse me, he said it in Kratos' voice. "Greetings, boys. Playing God of War and it's blowing my mind. The boss fights are legendary. Got me thinking. What are your guys' favorite boss fights? Also miss when you guys did 3-hour podcasts and talked about loving PlayStation. Love the podcast."
We still talk about loving PlayStation.
It's funny. We would do lengthier podcasts if I didn't have to work. Almost every day we do these podcasts. Thankfully, I don't have to work today, but I do have to go to dinner with my parents. We're going to a very delicious restaurant, so I cannot miss out.
I'm kind of glad they're not 3 hours anymore. They're very long.
Well, Jacob, I like talking to you guys. Not that it's I don't the only time I get to see you this. Every week.
Just it's a huge chunk of my weekend afternoons.
Wow, Jacob. Does that mean this podcast means that little to you?
Yeah.
After all
that's
this
exactly
time.
Exactly what I'm saying.
After all this time. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really heartbreaking, man. It's the only time I get to see you guys.
Truth hurts, doesn't it?
It does, man. I can live with it, but it's still...
It hurts.
It's still upsetting.
I get it.
What's your guys' favorite boss fights? I like the boss fight against the Joker at the end of Arkham Asylum. It's pretty sick, dude, when he turns into the Hulk. That's the only goofy part of that game. I thought was a little ridiculous. That was before they realized they should be a little more grounded with it, I think. Mm-hmm. Real boss fights.
What
I enjoy.
Was the gimmick behind that? Like, why did he turn so big?
It was the stuff he got like addicted to throughout the game, whatever it was. And I was like Poison Ivy's juice or something that turned him into that. And then Arkham City is when he has the after effects of it, and it's what kills him. Hmm. Spoiler alert. So,
oh no.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the boss fights in God of War, specifically the final one, which I won't spoil for those of you who haven't finished it yet. That was an excellent boss fight, not just narratively, but the drama of it, the development of all characters on both sides, and just the gameplay was flawless for me, where you're utilizing every single thing you learn from the beginning of the game to the very end to the best of your ability to bring him down. I thought it was awesome. And even beyond that, the Valkyrie stuff that you guys have talked about sounds great.
Mm-hmm. I like the one in the middle, too, the middle boss fight.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun one.
It is unique, yeah.
Great set piece as well. A few others before I forget.
Speaking of God of War, I think the God of War 3 Kronos fight is freaking awesome.
Epic.
When you're actually climbing the Titan, mm-hmm. taking him down.
Yeah.
Such an awesome fight.
Very cool.
God of War just...
I always loved Hercules' fight, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm just beating his head in
him. God of War 3 is full of great boss fights.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Just a marathon.
Especially the Zeus fight.
Yeah. I love that at the end where you're just hammering circle, punching him in the face, and you're just so into it. Like 4 minutes go by, you realize you can stop punching him and the screen clears up and his bloody face is just in your hands. Mm-hmm. It's so awesome. I'm going to go back to classic Zelda, Ocarina of Time. The, oh my gosh, I'm going to look like such a loser when it comes to Zelda. If I can't name this guy, I'm not even going to say it until I know.
Speaking of Zelda, I enjoyed the DLC boss fight in Breath of the Wild.
Which
that was a good boss fight.
Oh, the final boss fight?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say it in case people haven't played it, but it's a fun fight.
It was kind of a fun fight, yeah. That's the thing. There's so many boss fights in video games that it's so hard for me to remember specific ones. Yeah. I like boss fights as well, where it isn't like a giant set piece, where it's just a good old-fashioned fight, just utilizing gameplay that you'd use against any other enemy. Mm-hmm. I love that.
I enjoy several Kingdom Hearts boss fights. For example, like Roxas, when you fight him as Sora. At the end of 2, it's a good fight.
What always sticks out in my head is the boss fight against, what's the guy's name from Tarzan with the shotgun?
That's, what is that guy's
name? A mustache.
Yeah, everyone knows
I'm not
he's,
saying
he's
it's
a
like,
hunter.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's like a great boss fight, but that's
he
always
like
been
that
in my memory for some reason. Yeah.
My bad. I completely blanked on the name of this boss.
Ganon?
The,
Ganon of Ganon?
The Fire Temple Volvagia.
Okay, I would have never remembered that name.
Yeah. I've played that game a trillion times. I should remember it by now. Yeah, but I love having to use playing whack-a-mole with the Megaton Hammer as his head pops out. And that always used to be my favorite boss fight in Ocarina of Time. And as a kid, I couldn't wait until I got to the Fire Temple. Just that entire temple and that boss fight were my favorite part of the game.
It's Fire Temple's fun.
Phantom Ganon is awesome, too, in the Forest Temple. Mm-hmm. Shooting him as he comes out of the paintings. And as he finally gets off his horse, the second part of the boss fight where you start that mechanic of playing tennis with him to get him on the ground. That part of that fight's awesome.
I think it's funny, after fighting Ganon at the end of Ocarina of Time, every Zelda game I've played since that, I still think some boss is going to want to play tennis with me.
Yeah.
I've tried that with like 50 bosses since then. Like, this is going to be the one where they bring back the tennis. It never happens.
Yeah. Twilight Princess has some pretty solid boss fights as well. The fight with Ganon at the Ganondorf at the end of that game is really awesome. Very cinematic and epic.
What about the boss fights in Arkham Origins? Has some fun ones. I think the Deathstroke boss fight's kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's a little repetitive, but it was cool.
Yeah,
I thought the Bane fight was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think the Bane fight's really cool. I love the conclusion of that fight too.
What about the Deadshot fight? That was really cool.
So sick, dude!
It's awesome.
My favorite boss fight is against Deathstroke in Arkham Knight. It was so awesome. Boss fight against Firefly for the fifth time.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that game really effed up in a lot of ways.
So badass.
Isn't there a boss, Halo boss fights that stick out to me?
I can tell you my least favorite boss fight. It was that alien looking.
In Halo?
I almost said a really bad explicitive for this guy. Trying to not say the F word anymore, but I almost called him one. Alien looking thing. Not the FU word. Not, I don't want anybody to think I was talking about the other one. The giant alien thing looking Medeal in Bloodborne. Do you know what I'm talking about? You see him throughout the game.
Wait, which Halo are we talking about?
Bloodborne.
Okay, I thought for some reason you were Halo? Talking because I said I was talking about Halo and you sounded like you were coming off.
Oh,
of it
no,
to say something.
Sorry,
about
I was talking
Halo.
About like Bloodborne.
Blood Soaked Beast.
No, the alien looking dudes.
I never
the
fought
big heads.
Them.
They're in the main game.
Yeah, because you fight them and then there's a boss version of that, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. But you have to fight one in the Chalice Dungeons in a very small enclosed room. And
yeah, I never fought that guy.
Oh my gosh, I remember I was on party chat with you for like 4 hours straight just throwing myself against.
I remember that fight
or
that night quite vividly for some reason. I was in like that area that if you like you can get poison just walking around.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the swamp area, it was somewhere else, but it was the boss was like a giant like mantis or something.
I think that was it, but I had to fight that in the chat.
Oh, that's
dungeon.
The boss you're talking
maybe.
About.
Maybe, and dude, it...
So I know there's other things that look like aliens, but they have really big heads. There were those kind of enemies in the game, too.
But yeah, there was a absolutely. Boss. Beating that thing was so satisfying. It was ridiculous, but man, I hated it.
I enjoyed a few of the boss fights in Dark Souls 3. I can't remember the names of any of them.
Do you think Bloodborne 2 is going to be revealed at E3?
I hope it is.
Sony?
I certainly hope
so. That'd be
cool. That'd be a great reveal. The world's ready for Bloodborne 2.
Nice if it was 60 frames, you know.
I wouldn't
and if
complain
it was on
about
PC.
That. Yeah, I wouldn't complain about that either. But I really, really loved Bloodborne, man. That game was awesome. And that's the thing. It was such a learning process for me. I didn't realize how much I could have, that I did miss out on. And then, of course, with Dark Souls 3, I made sure I got everyone, having learned that you can miss certain bosses.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I'll replay Bloodborne in its entirety, but I very much look forward to the sequel.
Oh, dude, the thing that also made that fight so hard is one of the... You had a debuff through that entire dungeon, which halved your health, which made it
Yeah,
even
I remember
harder.
You telling me that.
Yeah. Trying to find this thing. But...
The Cyber Demon fight in Doom, brah.
That was a good fight.
Yeah, it was cool. When you kill him at the end. It's really awesome. The glory kill at the end.
Wow, spoiler, dude. You kill things in Doom?
You kill a lot of things. With your bare hands, most of the time.
That's too graphic for me. I'm not going to play it, I don't think.
What you looking at over there?
I'm trying to find that boss, what he looks like.
Oh, from Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking around the room. What about some Destiny fights that we all engaged in together that we
enjoyed?
This
thing. It was this
Vault
thing.
Of Glass against Atheon?
I wouldn't say that's a great fight.
I just think it's memorable.
I think the Kalos fight was pretty.
It's a pretty low good. Quality picture. This thing.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing that's pictures of that. Awesome. I'm not into that.
Effed me up.
Yeah, those guys are
annoying. Yeah.
I don't think I can think of anything else, yeah, boys.
Those Magoobers.
Yeah, those things freaked me out, yeah, bro.
Creepy looking.
I always hated the, this isn't really a boss in Bloodborne, but those things have the tentacles. They like, yeah, sucked you.
Mm-hmm. Sucked you.
I think they like gave you a
dude,
debuff.
In the Old Hunters DLC, sucked you. The Ludwig, the first boss in the Old Hunters DLC, I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Just completely curb stomped me. Completely got me to quit playing that game.
That's the thing about Souls games, man. It's like I just have a constant chill up my spine the whole time. It is so unnerving.
It's like my uncle, you play. Who's like obsessed playing through all of them. I'm like, how do you mentally do that? Mm-hmm. I can't. It's like I almost don't enjoy them, but yeah. I do, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's just so stressful.
I mean, if you just play them enough, it kind of just becomes a formula, right? You just kind of know when things happen.
Yeah,
a lot of people like speedrunning those games.
Yeah, they're cool.
Next one comes from Jacob Walters. Thank you for your question, by the way. Coffee is Life says, hey, you beautiful, beautiful men. How did you all meet each other?
I put out an ag on Craigslist.
Oh, yes, I remember like yesterday.
Yeah.
I picked up Jacob on the streets when I was in high school. So I'm looking for a handsome man with a lot of muscles to make love to tonight. And Jacob's like, that'll be me.
I was on the streets picking specks of dirt up from my toes and eating it.
Yeah.
I was so desperate for food. Ooh. Garrett saved me.
Mm. Taking good care of him ever since.
Yeah. Mm. Here I am today.
Well, I think the actual answer is fairly simple. School.
Mm-hmm. School for both of us. Mm-hmm. Me and Preston have known each other for a long time now. What year count are we at now? We're nearing 20 years, I think.
We met in second grade. So, however long ago that was.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Late 90s?
Yeah.
Late 90s.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I remember, I think I've told the story before. When I first noticed Preston, it was like the second or third day of second grade, and we were both waiting in the carpool line in the gym of our school, and I was sitting next to him, and you were so tan from the sun that I thought you were Hispanic.
That is one characteristic about me.
And you have dark hair, too.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is like a particular appearance of every Hispanic child, but at the time, this is how most of the Hispanic children I knew looked. So, especially in the dark of the gym, I thought Preston was a Spanish boy. Not that it has any relevance to the story whatsoever. I just thought that's funny because Preston, there's no Spanish in him. So, that's a funny little story about the first time I noticed Preston.
How awful was that? Just sitting in the gym waiting for your car.
It's terrible.
Awful. It's like 9,000 degrees.
Yep.
And you just have to sit on
this. It's dead silent too. No one talks.
Nobody could talk. Just sitting crisscross applesauce in this gym.
You couldn't talk?
No. Dude, the gym teacher
had us pretty spread out too.
Walking the lines.
You're waiting for someone to pick you up to take you home? Mm-hmm. What the hell?
It was weird.
The cars would have the number on their dashboard or whatever, and they'd call your number out and you'd go to your car.
I remember, like, after school, right? Like,
yeah,
school's out.
I have two stories about this carpool line. I remember when Preston, you told me about how your mom had bought you a PS2 and the Spider-Man game, and you knew that my mom had done the same for me, but I didn't know yet, and you told me about it, and I was so jealous and upset. It, like, really bummed me out when you told me that. And I waited for the cars, and my mom picked me up. It was the first thing I told her. I'm like, Preston got a PS2 in the Spider-Man game. And when I got home and went up to my room, the PS2 was in there with the Spider-Man game. And still to this day, that nearly brings me to tears. How sweet that
is. What if you're, like, such a bad kid because you're so upset that you didn't get one that she just, like, took it away?
That was the first time in my life where I was, like, genuinely surprised by something, and I'll never forget it. It was one of the sweetest things my mother's ever done for me.
The same type of deal happened for me as well. My mom went into a Blockbuster on our way home from doing something one day, and every time we'd go to Blockbuster, of course, I'd go rent a game, and we were pulling up to it. I was like, oh, yeah, I can go rent a game, right? No, I'm just going to get a movie. You can't rent a game.
What?
Bummed me out so bad. I almost wanted to jump out the car. I was so depressed. We get home, and I asked her, I was like, what movie do you get? She wouldn't tell me. Then we get home, and my uncle shows up. He goes, hey, want to help me get something out of my trunk? Walk back there. PlayStation 2's there.
Mm-hmm.
This is yours. Walk inside. Mom had rented the new Spider-Man game for me. So
classic. Yeah, I'm well aware. um, I was going to say, yeah, that really threw him off my train of thought there. Yeah, that's a great surprise.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You actually had the game, though. I rented it.
So I remember that. Pretty. Did, we both did not have memory cards at first.
No.
Because you said you played through the game like 8 times.
Yeah. I'd always get to like second or third level and I'd have to start it off. So I just started over.
Yeah.
It's like my brain didn't even.
I still love it.
Comprehend
though.
It's because
just having a PS2 and just playing that game, I'll never forget it. Yeah. So that was a good surprise. Only other funny story, I remember there was a new kid that came to our class, or maybe it was my class. I think it was my class. Halfway through the school year, my teacher, and I don't know why, I wasn't one of these kids, thankfully, but a lot of our classmates were picking on him all day. And I guess because he's the new kid and that's what kids do to each other. But my teacher asked me to take him to the carpool line because I was the only kid in my class going to the carpool line that day. So I walk him there and he's already had a terrible day and people picking on him. He's like talking to me about how bummed out he was about something. And we're walking and there's like this pavilion type thing that leads from the building of the school to the gym. And it has these metal bars, obviously these pillars that support it. And the kid's walking, talking about how depressed he is. And just out of nowhere, just goosh, he's like head first into one of the poles. He starts bleeding everywhere from his nose.
Who was this?
I can't remember his name, but he had a rough first day. I think it was third or fourth grade.
I thought it was going to be Kevin from the beginning of the story.
I just nailed his head on that pole, man.
Do we still not know where he is?
No idea. I've tried to find him on the internet. He fell off the face of the earth. Probably good for it too, man. I wish I wasn't on the internet.
Me and Garrett had this mutual friend. He might not have even existed.
He may have been our imaginary friend.
Maybe.
So.
Can't find him.
He's not on the internet anywhere.
His last name's Michalowski.
Yep, Michalowski.
Yeah. You can't find him?
No.
We both went over to his house and hung out.
Yeah.
Played Pokemon. Watched Pokemon.
Dude wore sweatpants. Every day.
Yeah. I ate his entire box of Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah.
It's the first time I got introduced to Fruity Pebbles. I ate the whole box.
Great cereal.
Yeah. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Fruity Rice Krispies.
I'm glad you guys have an imaginary friend.
If you're out there, Kevin, please say hi.
Please reach out. We're worried.
Kyle says, Bongales. So, fellas.
That's what he said.
Yeah. So, fellas, this may be a little more deep, and if you're not comfortable with answering, that's fine. Have you all actually made love to each other? That isn't the question.
Yes. Is that a serious question?
Of course we have. What is a major mental wall you've had to overcome in your life, such as an irrational fear of clowns or an issue with self-worth? Love you all and keep it sexy. A major mental wall. I know I've had some. I'm going to have to dig deep here for a second.
It's easy answer. It's just like college. Sometimes you're so unmotivated to learn something, but you have to push through it.
Mental wall. This is a flaw of myself that I'm trying to get over. Is I have this problem of always wanting to, I don't want to upset people. Not that I'm like afraid of them judging me because I've upset them, but I just feel bad when people are upset. So when someone wants my help with something or someone wants to hang out with me, I have a hard time saying no. Because not that I'd expect this. Oops, I'm glad this wasn't full.
Literally just finished.
I've gotten better about it nowadays. If I'm too busy to help someone or something with someone or do something specific for someone, I'll say no if I have to. But there was definitely a time in my life where I just had the hardest time just saying the word no. I said yes too much to a lot of things.
You do.
Not that it was ever like there were any terrible repercussions of doing that, but it would hinder my own life from my own personal schedule stuff I had to get done when I was trying to help others. So saying yes too much can be a hindrance if you're not careful.
I learned that.
Yeah, I don't want to be a yes man. I've had to overcome that over time. So that's one thing I can think of.
Hmm. What about
you guys?
Trying to platinum God of War.
It's
after
mental
trying
war.
To fight this a certain thing. Mm-hmm. Took a, it was a big,
it was a mental wall. Me admitting my distaste for The Last Jedi.
I wanted to break many things, but I did not.
Mm-hmm. That's the first time I've seen a Star Wars film where even minutes after I saw it, I was like, a lot of that sucked. I know there is some great stuff in that movie, but you know my thoughts on that if you've heard our review. I know there's other ones.
I can't even think of anything right now.
You've had no challenges in your life.
I for sure have, but I can't think of any.
And it's hard to think of them for some reason.
Like a mental hurt. I have no clue.
What about you, Jake?
I know I've had them. I'm blanking completely. This is like a question I feel like I needed to like simmer on for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Can't just come up with something.
Maybe we'll come back to it next week. Mm. Got anything for us, Jacob?
Well.
I mean, I brought up college earlier. I just need to think about it.
That mental hump of knowing that Xbox blew ass, but I just couldn't admit it until we started this podcast.
Yeah.
That one.
It's a mental wall for all of us.
Yeah. It was hard to admit that my Xbox One wasn't worth it. At $500.
Yeah. I don't know why you're giving you such a hard time, too, when you're like, I'm getting Xbox. We're like, dude.
Like, did you watch that E3 conference, dude?
It's like, dude, it's okay. It's going to be fine.
Me and Garrett were solid 360ers.
Yeah.
When that PlayStation 4 E3 reveal happened with the whole $399, the used games, like, backward, like the... You know, all of that crap in our apartment, we were jumping up and screaming, and y'all were in another state at the beach watching the same thing. And what did y'all do?
We watched it.
Did you get excited or anything?
Yeah.
The PlayStation one?
I don't think we watched it.
Hmm. You were with a bunch of Xbox faithful.
Oh, yeah. Completely Xbox fanboys
who still live in their bubble.
Yep.
That don't know anything outside of Xbox.
Besides you two, I have probably no friends that play PlayStation.
Gosh, so. What a life!
It's crazy to think that life doesn't revolve around video games. Crazy to think. Yeah, it's shocking, right? It's almost like I'm friends with other people, about. Not because of Xbox.
That's insane. That's the first thing I'm like, hey,
what
nice to meet
you.
What's your preferred console? Xbox? All right, I'll see you later.
Wii U? Goodbye.
I haven't played video games since like...
Wii U, the police are on
Nintendo.
Their way.
Nintendo. Can you think of anything before we move on, Jacob?
No.
Dang it, man. I'm the only one who said something.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
I'm sorry.
I know there's more. I know there's more I'll think of at some point. I'm sorry, Kyle.
I forgot I played Halo with Kyle and it was a freaking blast.
Yeah, you told me. Yeah. I really want to join you guys.
So freaking fun.
Sounds fun.
Especially at 3 a.m. where
I thought you were talking about like a mental hurdle of having to play with Kyle.
Yeah, that's it. 3 a.m. where everything's 50 times funnier than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking blast.
That's the best.
Playing all the Halo mini games and stuff.
William, forgive me if I botched your last name. William Bordeaux? Baudreux, maybe? Please correct me if I'm wrong. I assume I am, like usual. He says, and this one's a bit random, boys, but stick with me here. He says, so can you guys talk about Warframe in the next podcast at all? Because I really do think DE is setting bars for the free-to-play model, as well as having the game change drastically over the years with content updates consistently. I feel it's worth talking about as Warframe is the rare game that they make it 100% playable while playing for free, where you just pay money to speed up unlocks or unlock items instantly. Now, the reason I included this one, it's pretty dated. He sent it to us for a while ago, but I recently watched all the way through Race of X Warframe video, where he just details it. Everything about it. And it's a lot to take in, even amidst that way of watching it. But I will say it kind of gave me a better understanding of what the game is. I'm like, that is definitely very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys know me. I have no time for anything, so I'm not going to play it anytime soon. But that was the first time I admitted. I was like, now I kind of get... Now, I still haven't played it. And I'm sure my mind would change even more after having played it. But having a very, very general understanding of how the game functions and what it's meant to be and how it works and where it came from, I'm like, I get the appeal of why people like this, and it looked very cool while I was watching it, but I have not had a chance to dive in. So
I downloaded it a few months ago and played it. I think I need to watch a video explaining everything because it was very overwhelming.
That's what he says. It is incredible how much it does not hold your hand. It is insane how much you can do in the game too.
I prefer their previous masterpiece, Dark Sector.
Oh, amen, brother. Mm-hmm. It got you viral on YouTube for a little while.
You're right. Yeah.
Went viral with his trailer he ripped from IGN.
Here it is, finally.
I bet you if I Googled that trailer, I'd be like the first one to pop up.
I bet you would be, man. It had like 80,000 views. I think 90. I think it hit 90. It may eventually hit 100 by the end. Yeah. It's funny, Preston rips this trailer from IGN and uploads. It gets like 90,000 views. Meanwhile, I'm like,
doesn't it have like the watermark in the bottom right or something?
It does, yeah. Meanwhile, I'm slaving over a crappy Halo Machinima and I get like 1,500. I'm so mad. I get it, though. Totally get it. You looking for it? I bet it's kind of hard to find nowadays.
I don't even remember what my name was.
It was your Belmando channel.
I don't know. Continue.
I think I actually went looking for that channel a while ago and I couldn't find it.
Oh, really?
Did you ever delete it, maybe?
I have no clue.
You might have. Lastly, we have Sam Harris. Do you want to add anything about Warframe?
I found it.
My interest. Yeah. Oh, you found it.
Almost 100,000 views.
I knew it.
I have 6 subscribers. Yeah, it was just a straight up. I don't see a watermark, but yeah.
Is it actual gameplay?
Yeah.
I watched Preston play through this entire effing game in a weekend.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. You can see even the design of the characters kind of look like Warframe
a
bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 26 comments, dude.
This looks sick. What year are they from?
Badass. What do you mean?
Well, like, what year is dated on the comments?
Like, how many years ago some of these comments were? 8 years? 10 years?
Holy crap, man. That's wild.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
10 years?
Yeah.
Man.
People are asking me how I fought this guy and stuff.
Yeah, I did the gameplay.
Dude, I have... I'm sorry, this is so off track.
If you
have
notifications turned on, you could comment back and see if they respond.
I have like 4 videos that I've uploaded on this channel and they all have like 3,000 or 4,000 views.
Wow.
Back when the internet was simpler, I guess.
What were you saying about Warframe, Jacob?
I have zero interest for a game like Warframe, and I apologize if that upsets you.
I'm going to stick to Destiny.
I'm going to play Warmind, not Warframe.
I don't have
enough
time to play more than one looter shooter or whatever.
I think Warframe's more than a looter shooter.
I know it is, but you know what I mean.
I don't have any right to defend it because I haven't played it, but the only reason I say that is because of that video.
And I'm sure it's in a lot better place than Destiny is right now.
Oh, yeah, undoubtedly, for sure. At least the community feels better about it than the Destiny community does. Right. Sam Harris is our big conclusion today. Mm. Is he? Yeah. I don't know why I have my part of my shot list from the video I did this week in the notes. Sam Harris says, hey there, you special dudes. Yeah, special. This question is for all of you, but mostly Jacob. J-Man, what music do you listen to when pumping iron or shredding it on the elliptical? Or when you're falling on your ass off the elliptical, Jake?
Oh, yeah, I didn't tell that story.
I recently have been listening to metal covers of video game music, which I highly recommend. It gets me so pumped and amped up, I forgot the aching and soreness of my muscles. Anyway, keep it slick like Rick when he's blowing off heads in the Walking Deads. There's a new Walking Dead game they're going to show at E3 as well. It's apparently supposed to be pretty cool.
Yeah, we need more Walking Dead.
That's saw that trailer need. With the old guy. Pretty cinematic. I can't remember what the trailer's
talking
called.
Talking about the Telltale game?
No, it's
for
not
the new
Telltale.
Walking. It's like Overkill's doing.
Yeah, Overkill's like Walking Dead. Yeah.
So what music do I listen to? I mix it up all the time. I usually just go to Pandora if I'm using my phone, and I will just look up various. Sometimes it's metal. Sometimes it's a little metalcore. Sometimes it's rap. Like lately, it's been some Post Malone. This last week.
Give me that ass, girl. Give me that ass. Yeah, give me that ass.
Sometimes it's just fucking, I love Linkin Park, so I just fucking put on Hybrid Theory and I just grind it out.
Fucking Linkin Park.
I'm gonna fuck. I shred the shit out of my arms when I listen to Linkin Park.
Dude, Linkin Park inspires you, man. Yes. You just listen to that whole album.
Become so numb.
You're literally becoming numb. Yeah. From just looking so much.
So.
But yeah, it's. I don't really. I listen to kind of a lot of everything. No country. Not a big fan of country.
Sitting outside on the front porch doing squats.
I don't really listen to. I don't listen to soundtracks or any video game music. It's not really my.
There's some awesome video game music to work out to, and just in metal covers, like Sam said, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I like listening to albums. I usually just find like a band or an album I haven't listened to, and I put that on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's led to discoveries and things I didn't know I liked. So, pretty cool.
That's really cool, Jake.
I typically listen to metal as well when I work out, which has been a long time. But when I was working out consistently, it'd be a lot of metal. Typically the heaviest stuff I can find because I'm screaming internally while I'm running on the treadmill on mile 3. So typically the screaming helps.
Mile 3?
Yeah.
Dude, August Burns Red is amazing to run to.
It's the perfect tempo to run to. Mm-hmm. Especially, what's that album called?
Messenger.
Yeah.
It's great.
I've been listening. I mentioned this to you guys, the newest Parkway Drive album called Reverence. Very different for Parkway Drive. It is very much in the vein of what a lot of metalcore bands are doing, where they're evolving into more of like a Project 961 sound, but still somewhat has their similar vibe. I will say musically, even vocally, like all the performances are awesome. I think some of the riffs are freaking awesome.
Are they as badass as Five Finger Death Punch?
No, no, no. They're not that. They're not quite to that point. Okay. It's still definitely a lot of it still sounds like Parkway Drive, but some of the vocal stuff is a little weird, I'll admit. Like he kind of talks like a pirate in some of the songs. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like there's this one song called...
Maybe he's playing like Game of the Year, Sea of Thieves.
Maybe.
It's not called Lost in the Sorrow. What's it called? It's called...
No More Sorrow.
No.
Linkin Park.
No! No More Sorrow! I know that song's off Minutes to Midnight, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Dude, the opening to that song is so epic, dude. That's probably like the best guitar in any Linkin Park song.
It's pretty epic.
Yeah.
What was I saying? He just talks like a pirate in some of the songs. So some of the vocal stuff is a little weird. I think it might be a concept album. I haven't read about the album yet, but the album cover is freaking epic, man. Like, it looks incredible. It's like a Baroque Renaissance painting of, like these people falling into hell. It looks really cool.
You took one art class, and now you're talking like
I wanted to whip out that term. It was perfect timing, because when the album came out, I was like, I know exactly what this is. And it's what I was just learning about in art history. I'm hoping I didn't fail my second
exam.
Maybe
one of them took an art history class, too, and they're like, oh.
They might have. That's what's fun, is that I can name a few pieces of art that I see, like the really, really popular ones I can, and I can name the style and century it came from. So... the art style of
that'll
this
really
album,
help you in the future.
Yeah, exactly. That's the joke I'm always making. So the art style of this Baroque painting more than likely came from the 17th century. The very cusp of the beginning of the 1600s is probably where it was inspired from.
Thanks for sharing.
So that's what I learned. Surprisingly, when I'm like half dead at 8 a.m. in my history class. what were we talking about? The album. Really awesome guitar riffs in that I'll play one for you on the way back to the pool here in a minute.
Would I be interested in this?
I think you probably would like it, yeah.
Okay. What's the album called?
It's called Reverence.
Okay. I have a Apple Music now, or whatever it's called. I got a 3-month trial.
Oh, dude, I love Apple Music.
Yeah, I love it so far.
I adore it.
I need to do that.
So, yeah, check out Reverence, brah. It's pretty cool, dude. But yeah, typically metal for me, too. I think that does it, right? Unless you wanted to add something. What do you listen to, Preston?
When I work out? I listen to music. I listen to
podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I do that
I can
sometimes.
Respect that.
I have a lot of sports podcasts I listen to when I work out.
Well,
that was the podcast, guys.
I was just analyzing this water bottle. Jacob
just
destroyed
it.
Jacob. Thanks for listening to episode 153 of the podcast. Please subscribe to us over at Apple Podcasts. That would help us out tremendously. We really want to get on that new and noteworthy. Please also subscribe to us over at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. Check out the video version of this podcast if you're watching it anywhere or listening to it anywhere else, and leave us a like on this video and be sure to comment to get involved with our community. If you want to get even more involved with the community, check the link down below for links, or check the description down below for links to our social media pages and our Discord channel. We have a lot of cool guys over there.
And you gals.
Can, cool guys and gals. You can link up, go on some dates, maybe play some games with each other. Do all that stuff. And if two of y'all get married, you can dedicate to us. And that'd be really cool.
Let's have a Halo 3 wedding like RB and the Chief.
Okay.
It's the funniest episode of that YouTube series. I was stretching my hand and I just happened to point with it like that.
But yeah, we really appreciate you guys sticking with us. We have any reviews, Jacob?
Oh yeah, dude, we got two.
Dude, wow.
They heard me complain last week.
That's
and
great.
Now we have more.
Did he literally say that,
Jacob? No. Are you okay. That tan naturally from just stepping out into the sun? Because you do drive a truck all day.
Yeah,
so
I'm
wondering...
in the sun a lot. So
are you?
I mean, that's a farmer's tan right there.
All right, where are these reviews? We got to get Garrett's got to go somewhere.
Garrett was feeling all over me.
I've also got a poo-poo.
We got This last Sunday, R. Clark gave us a 5-star review. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And also Marvin7024. Wow, another 5-star.
Please give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us so much. You have no clue. It makes us so happily and tingly. Also subscribe to us at YouTube. I don't know what happened there. we're like right here on YouTube. We've just been just a solid line.
I know why. We just do nothing on YouTube at the moment. And we do zero advertising. We have zero engagement on social media. There's no reason.
All of these things are true. But please subscribe to us at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming if you haven't done so already. You're going to want to be subscribed to us when E3 comes around because we are the best. We're the best at it. So
we are.
It's not an opinion, it's pure fact. I think that's all we really have to talk about this week. We appreciate you listening in, and we look forward to seeing you next Monday.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.